Gemara says, Maria Zakasha, Kol Kach Lama. We had discussed in the Mishnah that there are a few things that if a person does, he's going to lose his Chelek Olam Haba. And the first thing that the Mishnah, the first thing that the Mishnah says, is someone who says, I mean, Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. Someone who says there's no Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, he doesn't have a Chelek Olam Haba. And the question is, a Kol Kach Lama. Maisa, he did a lot of good things in his life. Why should it be such a severe punishment for someone who doesn't think that Tchias HaMeisim is Minat Torah? That means he believes Tchias HaMeisim. He just doesn't believe it's Minat Torah. I mean, he could maybe understand the concept, but he doesn't believe it's... And that right away is enough that he loses his Olam Haba. For Chayr, it seems like the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
That's what it's not
Merumis in the Torah. It's not Merumis in the Torah. It's not, there's no pasuk in the Torah that says it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to try for a whole page to figure out which pasuk in the Torah does hint to Tchias HaMeisim, and it comes out that it's not written explicitly. It's learned that from a diak in a pasuk. It's not like, you know, we didn't say to keep Shabbos in the Torah. You could point to the word. You can't point to a word and say this is where it says it. It's a diak from something that it says in the pasuk. So Tchias HaMeisim, the MS, is something that it's hard to conceptualize. We don't understand it well, although I think after tonight, Bez Hashem will have a better understanding, a little bit. But Lamaisa, what he's doing is he's trying to knock the chashivis of it. It's not Minat Torah. That means it could be it exists. Could be. I'm not discussing that. What I am discussing is that I don't know that it's from the Torah. That's why it says, that's what it says. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know, why is he getting such a punishment? So the Gemara answers, since he was Kaifa, he rejected that there is Tchias HaMeisim. So therefore, the Rebbe Yisrael is going to punish him and not let him have Tchias HaMeisim. All of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is measure for measure. When a person does something wrong, or in the case that we're going to see tonight, if he does something right, Hashem will punish him ki'ilu the way he was noyeg. If he was acting like this, so Hashem deals with him the way he deals. Like we always say, the way a person deals with people is the way Hashem is going to deal with you. So it's the same thing with a person's private life. If he is kaifer b'tchias HaMeisim, so the punishment is that he's going to lose his tchias HaMeisim. That's the punishment. So, how do we know this? Shenemar vayoyim Elisha. Shimu devar Hashem. Elisha said, listen to the words of Hashem. Kra'es mocha, tomorrow saw, soiles, v'shekel, v'sasayim, soyim, v'shekel, v'shar shomer. There was a tremendous famine in those days. And people were starving for food. And Elisha said, you'll see tomorrow that a tremendous amount of wheat is going to be worth very little money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to supply food for all of us. Now, it was something that needed an open miracle. Because Apiteva, there wasn't going to be that much food, and there was no way for it to work. And that's what the Sholish, the person over there who was being cynical, said, Vayana Sholish, Ashel HaMelech Nishan Al Yodoy Es Isha El Akim. He said back to Elisha, Vayyem Ein E Hashem, Isha Rubish B'Shamayim. Whereas Hashem's going to have these warehouses in Shamayim, he's going to just have food, vegetables, wheat, grain. It's all going to be out there for everybody to take. Look, he was basically saying it's not possible. If today there's no food, it's not possible that tomorrow there's going to be food. Elisha answered back, you'll see that tomorrow there will be food. But you're not going to get to eat any of it. And it was talking like that. And there was so much food, Taka, that while people were running to try to get it, he was trampled. And he thought it was killed, this person. That means he got to see that he was wrong. And really, there was food. And there's a whole story. I'm not going to go into Navi now, but in a short version, they went out to battle against a neighboring town, And for some reason, obviously it was a nest, they thought they were going to get overwhelmed by a tremendous army, and they ran. They left everything behind. Nobody, there wasn't one shot fired. They walked in, and it was there for the taking. They had all the food that they could have wanted, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a nest, just like Elisha said, that the next day, the food was going to be worth very little because there was going to be so much of it. And this guy, this Sholish, he wasn't zeche to get any, because since he was, I don't believe it's going to happen, Hashem punished him, Mida Kereged Mida, and Itaka didn't get any of it. So therefore the Gemara sees from this pasuk the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midosav, when he meets out his punishment, and we're going to see tonight his reward, it's always measure for measure. To feed the way we acted and the way we expected and the way we react to different things, so accordingly is Hashem going to be knowing with us. Now that's how the Gemara says. Now let's try to understand a couple of things in this Gemara before we go weiter. First of all, let's try to understand something basic, like Tchias HaMeisim. Let's start there for a minute. If you ask a regular child who comes home from Cheder, so they'll tell you that at some point, when that point is, we don't know, but at some point, everybody is going to be brought back to life. That's what we say in the bracha, Mechaya Mason, the second bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Mechaya Mason. Now, like we said last week, let's try on our level to conceptualize a little bit what it means. A little bit, it will help us out a tremendous amount, and it won't take long, but we'll understand what Tchias HaMeisim is. As we go through the Gemaras, we'll point out all of these kinds of things, which for me was a tremendous benefit. The Maisa, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, brings down in the Sefer that the very first thing we do in the morning, the very first thing even before we wash our hands, is we recognize and give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing Tchias HaMeisim. The very first thing we do. When we say Moedani Lefanecha in the morning, what are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Shechazarte bi nishmasi bechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned our nisham. Now, it's not my mahalach usually, because I don't usually understand the Zayar. I don't have a good handle on some of what's said there. But the Shari Aaron brings down on this a Zayar, which I happen to understand a little bit. I'll share it with you. And he says that we all know that at the end of the day, it's brought down throughout Midrashim, throughout Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person sleeps, his neshama goes up, Hashem takes a tally. We all know, most of us, if we were really straight, it wouldn't add up. It really wouldn't add up. And the emes is, we at the end of the day should say goodbye, because we didn't do enough that Hashem should say, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And yet every morning, Bezes Hashem, we get up in the morning, we say, Moedani Lefanecha. Ein lecha Tchias HaMeisim gedol lemizu. It's a tremendous Tchias HaMeisim. Now we take it for granted because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said it in its way, and that's why we say Rabba Munasecha. We say Rabba Munasecha that we understand that it's all b'chemla, we don't really deserve it, and because of Hashem's tremendous compassion, He continues to give us another day and another day and another day to, quote, right the ship and to take advantage of the opportunities of today. So that at the end of today, we're a better yid than we were at the beginning of the day. That's really what Moedani is. If you really think about it, without getting into it in a very deep way, superficially, Moedani is setting us up in such an oifen. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus that we could understand Tchias HaMeisim a little bit from this nekuda, that you take a person who's asleep. That person is not here. You go over to try to, a guy who's a deep sleeper, the frat, try to wake a guy up. You see, he's not really in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the bikkudin, the neshama, he's giving it back to us. That's a tremendous milah. It's a tremendous milah. But he says, use opportunities that come up in our lives to reinforce this. He once had to travel to America with someone who was diagnosed with a disease. And the doctor told the person that don't go to America because you only have a couple months left. Spend the time with your children, organize your affairs, and so this way you don't rush out of here. Set up yourself that it could be good. And they discussed it amongst the different gedolim, and it was decided that Lamaisa, there might be a new method or something that they don't know about. They're going to go, and they're going to get a second opinion. And against the doctor's wishes here, they traveled, and they went into the hospital straight from the airport. They took a whole new battery of tests, and it turned out that it was misread over here. And when the doctors came in and told Reb Shimshon Pinkus and this patient that it's really not what you think it is, it's something else and it'll be treated and in 3 weeks you'll feel better, the concept of Tchinas HaMeisim hit them so hard that it was hard not to cry from that day on when they said Moidani in the morning, because it became real. Because in their minds, their lease was over, and now they were given a new lease. That is Tchias HaMeisim. That's really what it is. And they used that opportunity to, the rest of their lives, when they davened, and they had the words Mechaya HaMeisim came up, it wasn't just in the abstract. It was real. It was so real to them that they started crying from it. Because what could be a bigger simcha than to think that your time is up and to find out, no, your time is not up. So that's using an opportunity to reinforce something that we know, but that we really have a hard time understanding, and it gives us a chance to understand it in a way that helps us grow because of it. Now, we also have to realize that if we wanted to, we could have just mentioned, instead of saying Moidani Lefanecha Melachai V'Kayim Shechazati Mishmasi, we could have said that you should just know that Hashem returned our neshama. But it's not good enough. We say Moidani, the first word is Moidani. Someone who you thank is someone who did something for you. It's somebody you feel beholden to. And that's why if we remember in the morning when we say Moidani, we're beholden to Hashem, and he's tak in charge, it will help us much better constantly when things go and we have maybe this, maybe that. In life, there's always bumps in the road. We'll always stay grounded in our emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when somebody goes and he says, "Ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah," what he's really trying to do is diminish the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's so severe that such a person doesn't have a chelek l'olam haba. Now, l'maisa, to take it just one step further, just to show you how a Baal Musa, a Baal Madrega, will always stay on top of his game to make sure that these concepts don't weaken by him. I can tell you a Maisa that happened with Rav Avigdor Miller, Zechoyna Bracha, that will blow your mind. It's a true story. And if you knew Rav Avigdor Miller, you knew that it makes sense for him to do it. That there was one day, not long before he was Nifta, that one of his grandchildren came into the apartment upstairs, and the grandchild came in, he was calling Zaidi, he wanted to speak to his grandfather. And he heard him, that he was in the bathroom, and he was making a funny noise. So he walks over, the door was open to the bathroom, the bathroom sink was filled with water. And Rabbi Victor Miller had his face under the water. And there were bubbles coming up from the water. So right away the grandchild panicked. He didn't know what to do. It definitely was not what he was expecting to see. And the truth is, I think about it, I don't know what I would have done. I'm just glad I wasn't there. And after another 20, 30 seconds, he picks his head out of the water and he's gasping for breath. And after he composed himself, his grandchild asked him what he was doing. Now, obviously, he didn't anticipate his grandchild coming home, so he probably wouldn't have did it if he would have known someone was coming home. But Lamaisa, his grandchild did come home, and he had to explain it. So he told his grandchild that he had been out for his walk. He used to go on daily walks. And somebody made a comment. It was very, it was like a damp, rainy, raw day. And someone made a comment that the weather was nasty. As they walked by, "It's nasty weather, Rabbi, today. You shouldn't be out walking," or something like that. And he started trembling. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives us air. Without it, we can't live. And this person calls the weather nasty. It bothered him so much that he had to go right home and remind himself just how important the air is. So he said he put his head into water until he couldn't breathe anymore, so that when he took his mouth out of and he started breathing again, this is the best air in the world. There's no such thing as nasty weather. Everything Hashem does is good. Now that's Rav Avigdor Miller. Now I don't suggest that we all go home and try it, because I don't know what madrigas we're on. But I'll tell you one thing. That is an example of someone who didn't live 1,000 years ago, who had his eye on the ball. He understood what his purpose was. And if at any moment something happened to try to distract him, he was right there to pounce. Right there. My son came home for Shabbos from the mirror in Yerushalayim, and he told me that on the wall hanging over the sink in the Mir Yeshiva last week, there was they hang up every week a thought for the week, like a Musa thought. And the thought was, Mashiach might come tomorrow, so prepare today. It was written in Hebrew. And it says, that someone went over and asked Rav Avigdor Miller, what would he do if he knew that Mashiach was coming tomorrow? So Rav Miller said to him, a straight face, he said, well, it depends what time of the day he came. If it's at 6 o'clock, I'm eating supper. If it's at 6:30, I'm davening mincha. If it's at 7:30, I'm giving shiur. What Rav Miller was saying was, is I live every day like that. I don't have to change my schedule, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing every day. That was what was hanging up on the Mir Yeshiva's wall for the food of the week last week. Now, I can tell you, having grown up there my whole life, Avigdor Miller was my sandik. I was there my whole life. My father was there for years before I was born. This was the man. But yet, you could go and have a regular conversation, and he was, quote, one of the people in the shul that was there to talk to, and never short on advice. He would give it to you when you asked for it, and he would give it to you when you didn't ask for it. And it was the way it was. But yet he understood that you could get affected in a negative way from a comment that someone says just passing in the street, that he had to go and take instant action. That shows us how chomer such a concept is. Now, to understand it a little bit better, is the Mashal over here in the Gemara asks a question. Why is it that the Gemara says that it's Midah Kenegan Midah? And we learn it out from here, that the Mishnah in Soita. The Mishnah says in Soita that you should know the way that Midah Shemoided in Bayadam, the way a person is, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is Moided back. And by a Soita, she tried making herself look nice to end up doing no so male women novel. We make her do all sorts of things to make her look disgusting. And that's a Beferish of Mishnah. So why was it necessary to say over here that Hashem pays you back, Midah Kenegan Midah, to Mishnah? Mashiach says the Gevaldige Yesod. He said that's where a person does a Maisa. Someone does an action, he doesn't act. So okay, it makes sense. Hashem will do back. But this is what we ended off last year with. Over here, a person is just doing something b'machshava. And this is now continuing from the end of last year. A person does b'machshava by tchiyas ha-meisim. Let's be honest. Avodah Zarah is another example. Is it also to go and bow down to the priest or pope or across avadat asa. But that just is the pearl yitzer of a person's machshava, that that's something worth bowing down to. When a person in his machshava decides he wants to do that avera, then the avera was the machshava. The avera wasn't the bowing down. That's also an avera. That's what the Gemara in Kedushin says, that even though Machshava Ra is not mitzterefes l'maisa, someone who has in mind, I'm going to go into McDonald's and I'm going to eat that treif. I see they have it over here. I just came from America. I don't know if it's kosher or not. I have no idea, but I see the signs. Man, whatever. So, in America, it's treif. I don't know what it is here. But l'maisa, if you don't go in and eat it, you don't get an avera. You're not going to go to Gehenna for wanting to eat that cheeseburger. It's not going to happen. But it's not a good idea because you might convince yourself. But you're not getting an avera for that. Yet, by avoid the Zohar, if you have in mind, I want to go do avoid the Zohar, that's it. You got the avera already, it's as if you bow down, that's it. Because the bowing down is just the end result. Over here by Tchiyas HaMeisim, what is the mitzvah? To go around on the back of a truck and hang up signs that Tchiyas HaMeisim exists? That's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to understand b'machshava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his tremendous kindness and his tremendous chemla, is mechaya, he brings us back to life as a way of glorifying himself. And all we are the puppets in the show of giving kvod shemayim. That's what we are. And therefore, what ends up happening is that the mitzvah is b'machshava. That's what it is. Says the Marshal, there, even b'machshava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back, mida kineged mida. If you do something bad, b'machshava, you're losing your tchiyas hameisim, mida kineged mida, just from being over on machshava. That's how chomer it is. And that's what Rabbi Miller was being careful for. Because it's so easy. Let's be honest. The pasuk says like this, all my avarim, watch your eyes, because the way things come to you, machshava, a lot of times is through the eyes. But the bottom line is that who can control the machshava? It's such a hard thing to do. The mind is like on its own, does things. You see something, you smell something, you think about something. You hear something, you think about something. It's an automatic connection. It's so hard to break that train of connection. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. So Avigdor Miller saw there's a problem here. The warning light started blinking. So right away he went to fix it. So l'maisa, we see from here that machshava works in a negative way. I want to point out to you zelu mazeh, that Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us on Parsha Shalach that machshava works for good as well. And this is why Rav Avigdor Miller spent his lifetime teaching us, and all the Bali Musa teach us. It's amazing how easily we could be kind of Olam Haba. How easily we could do. Rav Avigdor Miller's big example was, if you're walking down the street, you see someone walking by, pushing someone in a wheelchair, and you stop for a second, or you don't stop, and you think while you're walking, Hashem should give that person a refuah shelema. Just in your mind, you just did such a mitzvah gedolah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not going to recognize your schar in the next world. And all you did was machshava. You didn't get that guy healed. You didn't give him a penny. You didn't send him to any doctors. You just thought that he should be gesund. That's all. That's his biggest thing on one of his tapes. I haven't heard it in years, but it's walking secretly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can walk and live his life and constantly be connected to Hashem if he's in tune, if he stays focused on his purpose and what he's doing. In Shlach, Kolev was one of the Meraglim who did the right thing. We know that the Pasuk says he got a tremendous reward. Right? Ask for Moshe Feinstein, what did he do? Did he in any way affect, influence the other Meraglim to change their report? Not a key who's it. He didn't get any pearl yitzchak. Nothing. there was still a tremendous punishment. They had to stay an extra 40 years. What did he gain? Says Moshe Feinstein a gewaltig thing. He says, Anochem ani es daiti? Kedemashmim mekrosh et dvor v'ilu b'esh et dibel l'chol ha'om. What happened was, he came and he said his thing. For a few seconds, it made the other Meraglim and the Yidden stop for a few seconds. Could he be right? Now, 3 seconds later, the other 10 Meraglim started pouncing. Oh, they're Anokim, they're giants. There's no way we could overcome them. We should have stayed in Mitzrayim. And they gave the whole drasha. But says Reb Moshe Feinstein, for those few seconds, even though he wasn't Poyel at all, but Afal Pikein, those few seconds, he was Zercha to get a schar of Olam Haba and tremendous reward. All he did was make them have a second thought for a second, even though they went back to their original plan. And his lashon is like this. He says, just like for Af, he says, Chayisho, if you want to save a guy's life, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life, even if, let's say, you're only saving him for a half hour. He's going to die anyway. But if you could prolong his life by 5 minutes, by 1 minute, you're Mechal Shabbos. That's the din. Says Reb Moshe Feinstein, Af, Kachu Gam B'chayin Nefesh, Af Shohil Lizman Kotzer, Nam Yudov Godom Ma'oid. If you could go and create for a second that someone else has a machshava toiva, you're zeicher to Olam Haba from that alone. You didn't do anything. What did he do, Kalev? He said that world, the land is good, but we could overcome it and we could this. Hashem will help us. At the end, it didn't make a difference. But yet, says Reb Moshe Feinstein, a tremendous thing. The other one, just like we see, by his smallest machshava, l'ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take away a person's Olam Haba, so too, by the smallest machshava l'toiv, a person could be zecha to tremendous, tremendous things. Tremendous things he's zecha to. And the Maisa, when you really think about it, it makes sense. Because We're not mechuyah for the Pel Yetzer. We don't know what the end result is going to be. That's what the Gemara over here is saying. The Gemara is saying over here that even the machshava, there's a concept of midah keneged midah. Now the Gemara continues and says that, 1 second here. How do you know that this whole concept was midah keneged midah, and that's why this shalish didn't get any food? Maybe the reason why he didn't get his food is because Elisha cursed him and said, you're not going to get. That's why Hashem punished him. But how do you know that in life in general? Frag the Gemara is a kasha. How do you know? Vidilma kilas Elisha karmalei. Maybe it was the klola. We're now on 2 lines down on Amud Beis. Tzadik Amud Beis. 2 lines down. The second line down. Vidilma kilas Elisha karmalei. How do you know that it was the midah keneged midah of Hashem? Maybe it's since Elisha gave him a curse, therefore Hashem punished him. So on this, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kilas chacham afil achinim iba. We know that if a chacham says something, a klolo, even if the reason for the klolo doesn't end up coming negeya, still the person gets punished. And where do we see that? We see that by David and Achitofel. Because by David, we know what happened. He started digging to make the foundations for the Beis HaMikdash, and he hit the Tehoim, and the water started coming up to drown the world. So he asked, does anybody know what we could do over here? And no one answered. Of course, no one wanted to answer to the king. And David HaMelech didn't want to. David HaMelech knew the Pesach, that he could write Hashem's name and put it over there in the hole, and it would stop the water from coming up. But Achitofel was his Rebbe, and he wasn't going to be Mori Halacha b'fnei Rabbo. So Mela, what happened? What happened was, he said, anybody who knows and doesn't tell me should get chenek, should choke. So then Achitofel answered. And right after that, Achitofel was killed through chenek. Because once David uttered the klolo, it came true even though it wasn't necessary anymore. So the Gemara says, that how do you know that the midah keneged midah over here is because Hashem punishes midah keneged midah? Maybe really it's because Elisha gave a klolo. And since Elisha gave a call, that's why the guy got punished. That's why. But who said that it's always like that? Now, the Gemara answers it's not true, because it says in Kain Lichtaif Kava Yir Masuva Yamas that he got trampled and died. My Bashar al Iske Shar. Why did it say the word Bashar? It's because of the Iske Shar. That means he died because of the food. That's the Mida Kenegan Mida. It didn't have to say that. If it was only because of the call of Elisha, it could have left out the word Bashar. Now, let's stop here for a second. This is a stopping point. And let's understand one more Nakuda, which is very negeya all the time. What happened over here? David HaMelech caused indirectly that Achitofel should get killed. Why? Because he didn't want to be Moira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. He didn't want to say Halacha in front of his Rebbe. Now let's try to understand that. The person got killed because of it, and he wasn't Moira Halacha. If you would ask me, and I think any one of us would understand, that what's more important? Worrying about being Moira Halacha than the Rabbi, or saving the guy's life, saving Achitofel's life? Push it. And yet we see that's not what David did. So we have to understand that concept as well. And I think I can explain it with a daher I heard from Henoch Libu in Zichron Baruch Hu, Rashi Chavetz Chaim in Queens. A few weeks ago, we had the Maisa in the Chumash with Eldad and Medad. And what happened with Eldad and Medad? They were giving Nevuah. And they were being Moira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi because Moshe Rabbeinu was there. They're not allowed to give Nevuah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gershon came running and said, Eldad u'Medad v'snamim v'machaneh. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu found out about it. So Yeshua, who never left Moshe's side, said, Adoni Moshe Kloim. My master Moshe imprisoned them. Why? Because Eldad u'Medad will be Moira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. Now, Frank Henoch Libu, it's such an amazing question that I don't know how I lived until like 10 years ago when I heard the question. Eldad u'Medad were punished because they were Moira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. What did Yeshua just do? Yeshua was so upset at the lack of covet that they had for Moshe Rabbeinu that he jumped and said, Adoni Moshe Kloi. And Chazal say that Yeshua was punished. He never had sons. Yeshua only had daughters. What did he have daughters for? Not sons. Because he paskin halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Moira Halacha the rabbi when he said, Adoni Moshe Kloi. So let's understand this. He's in the middle of making a protest against Eldad u'Medad because they were Moira Halacha the rabbi. And what does he do? At the same second, he's Moira Halacha the rabbi and he's punishing of his sons. Doesn't make any sense. What was he thinking? It really doesn't. We can't understand it, says Henoch. So what happened there? So says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, is that our job in life is always to let the seichel drive the bus and take hagosha along for the ride. That means when we make a decision to do something or not do something, to say something or not say something, when we deal with our wives, when we deal with our rabbis, when we deal with our kids, when we deal with our kids' teachers, whatever it is, everything we do in life, we have to let our seichel direct it. And then we mix in our hagoshes. Of course we have feelings. But if we're going to let our hagoshes dictate what our seichel should say, we're really going to be up the creek. Because many, many times our biases are affected by our hagosha, we become not objective anymore, and we make mistakes. Those mistakes sometimes can have very small ramifications, and sometimes they can create tremendous shalom bias issues, tremendous parenting issues. There's so many things we do wrong. There was a famous thing. A guy came to me just a week ago, and he was with his wife. I don't know the fellow. I don't think I would recognize him if I saw him in the street. I don't know his name. And someone told him that they were having a problem with one of their children. So someone told him, This guy just came from America. He's been involved with Chinuch for 20-something years. Go speak and get his advice. So someone called me. He said, come over and talk to me. So I said, come over and talk to me. I don't know the fellow. I'd asked him before that. I haven't seen him since then. And I don't know who he is. I wouldn't know how to pick him out of a crowd. And he sits down with me. And the first thing, the wife in the, is sitting there. And you can see the pain. The pain is, they're bursting with pain. They have this teenager, and the teenager is not acting the way they would like, and they're exploding. Their mom is exploding. And before I could get a word out, the mother just explodes and says, he came in, he said this and this and this, and I said, in our house, there's zero tolerance for this and this. I put my foot down. Now, that was the worst thing she could have done at that moment. And I didn't have to convince her. She really knew it. But she was so worked up. She it's not that she couldn't control herself. It was worse than that. It was a tsunami. She came out with so many things that the second they came out, she had such charata because the child obviously is in tremendous pain. And the last thing you want to do is pour more salt on the wound. Especially when you're the kid's mother and you care, you give your life for your kid. But you're so upset emotionally that you just for a second blank out. You say exactly what you don't want to say with the tone of voice that you don't want to use, with the emphasis you don't want to say, and then the toothpaste is out of the bottle, you can't put it back in, and now you come and you say, okay, now what do I do? So what you did was made a problem that was very big, much, much worse. Why? Because the seichel was not driving the bus. The hargosha took over for a split second. Says of Henoch Leibowitz, Yeshua was so incensed at the lack of covet that Eldon and Maidan had towards Moshe Rabbeinu, that for that split second he blacked out and he said, Adonai Moshe Kloim, and as soon as the words came out, he knew he blew it. Now, again, his kavana was a toiv, and the Maisa, Eldon and Maidan got punished. But on Yeshua's Madrego, he should have been more in control of the seichel, and therefore, kachut asayra, he got punished. A regular person maybe wouldn't get punished. It's just Yeshua, since Yeshua is on such a high level, more is expected. Okay? Now, what do we see from this? That the seichel has to always be running the show. Always be running the show. And the maisa, David and Achitofel, what happened? David saw that says in the Mishnah, this is what went through David's mind maybe. It says in the Mishnah there are three people that lose their Olam Haba. Someone who says Tchiyas HaMeizu not Menat Torah. Someone who says Torah Eloi Menat Shemayim. And someone who's an Apikurus. Now what is an Apikurus? We'll get to that. Is someone who's Mevaza Tamid HaChacham, the Gemara is going to say. Someone who says Mahan HaChacham, I don't need. Someone who's Mevaza Gadol. So he said one thing, I got a problem here. If I'm going to be Mor Alachem with the Rabbi, I'm losing my Olam Haba. I'm not doing that. Even at the expense that Achitofel is going to get killed because of it. That's not his cheshbon. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. And that's what happened over here. And that's why the Gemara says over here that you should know that if not for that, it says Bashar, you would have a very good kasha. The reason why you get punished is because the klal of Elisha. And it happens to be the Pasuk says Bishar that teaches another thing, that Mida Kineged Mida. He made fun of the Shire. He said it wouldn't be Shaykh. Because of that, he got killed because of the Shire. That's Mida Kineged Mida. But the Torah had to say it. Because if not, we Taka wouldn't have known it. But it's an amazing concept that the Maisa, you can't, what we would make our Cheshire, the way we do the math, is not always the right way. To be Mevaza Tamid HaChachamim, it might be better that someone get killed if not. That's what we see from here. Because Lamaisa, that is crossing the line. That is letting the Hagasha run the Seichel. Now Lamaisa, in the last 2 minutes before we end tonight, to apply it. I heard over once from Shah Shadron in his shmooz that sometimes you have to tie things up at the end in 2 minutes. We all know. We learn with a chavrusa. We deal with our spouse. We deal with our parents, our in-laws. Who knows how many things we our people we do business with during the day. We're constantly in this struggle of making sure that our seichel is calling the shots. And we also, most of us, have suffered the consequences of the few times when we just couldn't take it anymore and our hagasha ran the show. And we could have lost a customer, we could have made a fight with our spouse, we could have had an issue with our child. So many times these things happen. The way that, one of the ways that we could create not like that, one of the ways is by using the things that go on as reminders. Rav Avigdor Miller always used to say is that, you know, there's nothing that happens by mistake. If we could create a situation that we have our seichel controlling our hagasha, our lives will be so transformed we won't recognize ourselves. I once did it as a trial. I tried to spend a couple of hours throughout a day just jotting down the times when I made a decision based on seichel and times when I made a decision based on my hagasha. Even if I didn't do anything. And it's amazing to see the difference in life. That's why you could see somebody like Rav Avigdor Miller, someone who's in control. They never worried. There's no such thing as worrying. We don't worry about things. We take care of things. Why? Because what's there to worry about? If the seichel is running the show, you don't ever get caught up with the, but he said this, she did that. You promised that. It's seichel. You're not going to get ripped off because you have a contract that says like this, so this guy's not going to rip you off. But you're not going to let the hagasha get involved and end up that the next time you walk by him in the street, you're never going to look at him again the rest of your life. Of course, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing we can learn from this Gemara, that Achitov had to die so that David HaMelech wouldn't be Murei HaLacha b'fnei Rabbi. Ad kidei kach. So we have to remember that when we're being noyeg, let the seichel call the shots. And that's what we see from this Gemara. So we're up to now the Gemara of Minayin Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, and we're going to see it's not so pashut that and the Gemara has to learn from different places. No, but he didn't take that into account. He wants today. I can't pass it. Right, he had to do the right thing.
He didn't know that.
No, he didn't know nothing.